Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beth Pell Bum. As always, I'm your host, Paul. And joining me, again as always, is Tony.
I'm melting.
So, that may give it away. We are here to talk episodes 4 to 6 of What If. And we are starting where that quote comes from. What if Iron Man crashed into the Grandmaster? So up front, we did mention it on the last one. This is the episode that was meant for season one. It has absolutely no correlation to any of the rest of this season.
No.
That's all. It's a complete outlier because it doesn't belong in this season. They just didn't get around to finishing it, unfortunately. And it did make for a weird finale of season one when there was characters that we hadn't met.
That appearance of theirs follows on from this because we can assume that from that ending of this episode, I'm jumping straight to the end, that they kill Thanos because they've got his glove basically, haven't they? In them,
yeah, definitely. And interestingly, because of that, we do get a previously on with this one, for the first time, just because that they had to tie it back to season one for those reasons.
I think on a rewatch, I'll probably watch it, skip that bit, and watch it as part of series one.
Yeah, where it belongs. So, to be honest, at this point, it's not worth going over the returning voices. We'll pick it up as we go along. There'll be mentions of it throughout about who was back. But really, my first note, the Watcher has very little to do in these first few episodes. And probably that, again, with this one, probably ties into the fact that it should never have been in this season. That he has less to do. Just seems strange, but he does pick up, and we'll talk about over the next few episodes, he does pick up again as a bigger part. And so, as I said, we are going to bring up some of the returning voice as we go. My next note is Goldblum is Goldblooming. Because there's no one else. You could not bring someone else into play, the Grandmaster now. It has to be Goldblum. He just is mental. And he is so much in this as well. You can never replace him. But then on that note as well, I actually thought Tessa Thompson was probably one of the worst parts of this.
Sorry?
I thought Tessa Thompson was probably the one of the weaker links across this series. She was one of those ones that felt like she was phoning it in. And I think we could probably say that about her cameo in the Marvels as well.
Yeah.
Kind of like she had to be there rather than that she wanted to be there. Unfortunately, I thought it was strange that they didn't include Beta Ray Bill here. I thought it was the perfect opportunity to bring him in.
Because especially with it being a What If series.
The animated stuff rather than it being live action and being a bit hokey. That it'd fit better in something like this. And you could just see him being amongst the drivers. It felt a little bit strange not to to include him. And on that note, I also found it was a little bit strange to have Taika Waititi return to an episode that pretty much resembles the film that he wrote. I thought that was a little bit strange to rope him in to kind of take part in something that he created, but wasn't really involved in the creation of on this version. I thought that was a little bit of a strange choice.
Yeah, I suppose it's just because it was a familiarity character from Sakaar, wasn't it? I guess is what.
My next thing, and this is on characters that were recast. It's a shame that the two leads of this episode are both recast. It's a real shame that I get why neither of them have come back, because they are pretty much the two biggest stars. They've got the biggest box office whole, we've seen Avatar, Guardians, Avengers. Yeah. Zoe Saldana's had a massive career. And then obviously RDJ is gone. They don't want to tarnish it. If that's the case, don't bring these characters back. To have them lead an episode without the two main voices behind it, it's a little bit sad.
Although, for me, I really can't tell much of a difference with the guy that they use.
Yeah, there's definitely... The guy that they've got playing Tony is great.
Yeah.
I don't think the Gamora is particularly great, unfortunately.
No.
It doesn't really sound like Zoe Saldana at all.
No.
And it's more the fact that they've written an episode around two characters that they knew they weren't going to get the voices for. Is more my problem. Not that so much that they don't sound like them or stuff like that. It's just a shame that they couldn't have at least had one of the leads be played by the person that's actually played them. That's my biggest problem.
But on the plus side, we get Jeff back. He's always up for it, isn't he? But
yeah, exactly. We get a mention of Demon in a Bottle thrown in there, which I thought was nice. Unfortunately, we never got to see that story fulfilled properly.
No.
We get a 15-minute arc of it in Iron Man 2, is it?
Yeah.
So it's nice to see it get a mention.
Whether that'll happen in 10, 12, 20 years time with another version, perhaps they might do it.
Yeah. And I did want to mention, it does seem like the Grandmaster is hated in every single universe. Every time we meet him, everybody hates him.
Well, he's just such a knob.
He is very much a knob. I also felt this again, we mentioned in the first episode across those first three episodes of What If Season 2, I felt like this was kind of another nod to an old film. It has a very Mad Max feel to it towards the end.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's like a cross between Mad Max and one of our films from another podcast, Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
Spartacus, all that sort of that sword and sandal stuff with the chariot races and things like that.
But yeah.
It's really good. Of course, even the Star Wars pod race, I suppose.
Yeah, I got that written down as well, that it was like Phantom Menace.
And I actually think across the two shows, it's one of the best action sequences across any of the episodes. At least they're fantastically rendered and set and planned out, I think. And effectively what's just an engine with wheels as one of the vehicles.
And on that note, I wanted the car in a suit thing is a great nod to the to Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
In fact, with the suit in a suitcase. I thought that was a great little nod. The winking Grandmaster is just hilarious. when he drives past his own statue, winks at it, and it winks back at him. It's just a great visual. And then I did say, as you just said, it's an exciting episode with a great spin on a couple of films. It doesn't add anything to the story because, as we said, it's from season one, unfortunately. Yeah. And we did say on the first episode there is a noticeable difference in its style.
And also we've basically had back-to-back episodes which are self-contained.
Yeah.
With the Christmas one just before it.
Yeah, very much so. And you'd think that coming up as well would be self-contained, another one that we'll talk about at the end, which turns out not to be, but that'll be more for the next episode that we do. Yeah. It's a fun, epic episode.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do anything for the story in general.
And in fact, it'll be interesting to put it into a rewatching series one to see how it flows in the narrative.
Yeah, definitely. So that wraps up episode 4. Moving on to episode 5. What if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? So, Tony, I know it's got you wound up. Look, I'm going to say I found it a strange choice to make Captain Carter the lead member of this show. I have absolutely nothing against Haley. We know that. Met her on multiple occasions. Love Agent Carter. I do still think it's a very left field choice.
Yeah.
To have her front and center. We had it in season 1. She was front and center there.
Yeah.
And they've done it again with this season. She's front and center after this episode.
Yeah, see, when the show was announced, you would not kind of pick that character to be the sort of linchpin, really, would you?
No.
Yes.
No, but there has been backlash against Captain Carter. As a character, I've got nothing against it at all. My thoughts are just that it was a strange choice. And we'll talk about that more in episode 6, because I think there's some strange choices there as well. But sticking with episode 5, it's back to the original Captain Carter that we knew, from season 1, and we still don't know whether it's the same one that was in Multiverse of Madness or not. They're still not confirming. I'm assuming it's not.
I'm guessing it's another variant, isn't
it? Yeah, but we don't know that. This time
the
we get.
Interesting thing I was going to say that she doesn't look so muscular as the one that we had in series 1.
Yeah.
That comes out of the converter, basically.
Yeah, it's all a bit of a mix, isn't it? But they pretty much do confirm it's the same one.
Yeah.
Because the Watcher, she knows the Watcher.
Yeah. And that's the other strange, what we're saying about her being front and center as a character, that she's basically on the same level as Ultron.
Yeah.
Near him now where other people can't.
Yeah.
And apparently, because I haven't watched it, apparently Groot, you know, I am Groot, can see him as well. Is that right?
I don't know. I guess so.
Yeah.
I've not seen season 2.
Right.
I watched the first season and it just did absolutely nothing for me. So I didn't watch the second season. So we get more of a mention here. There is a slight mention of Budapest. But this time in this universe, it seems like it's been changed to Berlin. Where the main things happened.
I'm from watching Breakdown. I think she was referring to when she first back in the war, because there's that old sequence where she ambushes the lorry, and I took it to be referring to something like that.
Yeah,
that she learned in the Berlin.
Yeah.
I
did say I wasn't a massive fan of her kind of filling in for Captain America in this. I thought they could have distinguished between the two, but she pretty much treads the same water working with Black Widow.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. It did seem a little bit like it was treading the same path.
Yeah. On that point as well, I think we mentioned probably in when we talked about season 1, I really like Lake Bell in that role.
Yeah.
Although when you go watch it's hard to dissociate her from Poison Ivy. She's like the cleaner version of Poison Ivy in this.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But even the Watcher says as much, that he doesn't do sequels.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's kind of like, but I'm going to this once. And it's like, well, you've pretty much just signposted what people watching are going to think.
Yeah.
But on that, I do love the twist with Steve.
Yes.
It's brilliant to see him kind of play that version that's been in the comics, the Captain Hydra as such.
Effectively,
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, and we did. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to move on. So if you've got.
I was just going to say it was interesting that it was a nice play that it was actually the Red Room that had converted him, not specifically like the Russian authorities.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely. And there's a couple of characters and actors in this that I fell really bring it. And we've talked about one of them between us. But first of all, Sam Jackson absolutely brings it in these couple of episodes that he appears in. We'll talk about another one on the next one. But
you could have quite expected him to phone it in.
Yeah.
Almost this is the which is kind of what it felt like he did in Secret Invasion. But in this, he's giving it some gusto in this show.
And the second one, as I said, we've talked about this character between us. And it's someone that we didn't think suited animation particularly well in season one. And that's Sebastian Stan as Old Man Bucky.
He has brought his A game in this series, isn't he? And
yeah.
You can hear the older voice as well he uses for the Secretary of State version.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I love that he's getting his chance to shine at times now. Mm. He's kind of been under other people throughout everything he's done.
Yeah.
And then this is kind of the second lead.
Yeah.
For a lot of it.
I thought it was a nice little turn to see that older version of Bucky that had got a career as well and had a proper life.
Yeah. What I did say I thought was good that they were kind of retreading is it kind of plays on the relationships that we already know and kind of twists them in a different way. It's kind of nice to see, certainly those central relationships that we've seen, kind of, as we said, Black Widow, Steve, Bucky, are all kind of a group, along with Sam. And I don't know whether you saw, but they said this was written while they were still filming Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So they didn't know where Sam was going to end up at the time. So that's why they've not used him.
Ah, right.
In this season, because they just didn't know. They could have written a story where he became Captain America.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that it was him that had become Captain America.
Yeah, because he's the one character that's been kind of notable by his absence in these two series.
So that's why he's not been there. I also thought that the guy that's playing Steve has improved this year as well. He's and I know the version we met last season was kind of skinny Steve. So it was slightly different, but even then he didn't really sound like Chris Evans. He's kind of turned that up a notch now, and I thought he was really good in this.
That scene where with the double bluff where we think that he's been redeemed.
Yeah,
and he's regaling it what happened to Peggy. So that was a nice little moment, and then of course we get the twist that he hadn't been turned back.
yeah, really.
Also, it was nice to see Rachel Weisz back as well. I thought in this one.
Yeah, but I thought she was incredibly campy. But I thought she was in Black Widow. Honestly,
well, at least she's consistent with it.
Yeah, exactly. And look, we all moaned about their accents in Black Widow because they weren't great, and it's not improved. And from seeing the trailer for season 3, I don't think David Harbour's accent's improved either.
Yeah. Just an aside, that was an unexpected bonus for that to drop as well.
Yeah.
It can't be that far away if they're dropping a trailer.
No, exactly. I think they've probably worked on a lot of it back-to-back, which would explain why there's a new showrunner.
Yeah.
We've got a different showrunner for season 3. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
I thought the return of the widows was a welcome spot as well.
Yes, and also how cool was that shot of them going over and under the fence?
Yeah, brilliant. Just totally unexpected as well.
Mm.
I really wasn't expecting all of those to turn up at the end. So that was a really nice way to kind of tie everything in. You've got to assume, saying that they were filming Falcon and Winter Soldier at the time they were writing this, that would mean Black Widow was probably was just due to come out.
Yes, it probably was, yeah.
So that would explain why those guys were all around. And yeah, that kind of wraps up my thoughts on episode 5. Anything else you wanted to add, Tony, before we move on?
The only thing I was really going to add was that how the Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull jumped out at me when they get to that town. And it was just that fake tank. And it's also, I saw that in a film with John Travolta many years ago.
Yeah.
Where they end up in a Russian agent tank. I can't remember what the hell it was called. So that it's something that's popped up in a few things over the years, that sort of that fake Soviet tank. And it was really creepy in this as well, with those sort of walking mannequins.
Yeah,
I think it was a, it was an interesting episode. Like you say, it wasn't filler, but it also didn't feel overly substantial. But it got nice little moments in it, like we say, like the older Bucky, that little moment of Steve's, some couple of nice visual shots. But then of course we get that sort of she was not a surprise, because I made the mistake of actually watching the opening credits to see that name pop up. And then we get that moment then with Elizabeth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right at the end of the episode. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Moving on, we've got episode 6.
Yeah.
Which is the introduction of a new character. What if Kahori reshaped the world? So I'm a little bit torn with this episode. I know you enjoyed it, Tony. And I enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong. I just felt it was a little bit strange to create a new character when they have got hundreds and hundreds of characters that they could use. And the fact that it does tie in, and we'll talk more about it on the final episode.
And the fact that there are existing minorities characters as well, they could quite easily bring into the show.
There's literally one starting next week.
Yeah.
And the actress is starring in it that plays Kahori.
Yes.
It makes no sense to me to do that. When you've only got 9 episodes and you've got hundreds of characters, to decide that you're just, I'm just going to write a whole new character.
Yeah.
For this, it felt a little bit off to me. What I will say is I thought the episode itself is great.
Yeah.
There's so many great things throughout it. The visuals are superb.
Yes, there's some really great imagery in there. And little moments when she's flexing her powers. I love the little moment where she pulls the portal down from the sky.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah, brilliant. And even starting right from the word go, the return of Sutar is fantastic. And to see Clancy Brown come back and play him again, I wasn't expecting either. Great little turn. Also, the real shock of them using the native language.
Yes. I sat there and I nodded my head and I said, oh, yes, I'm with this. And it's good. It's good doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Like you say, it's just weird that, and right in the middle of a season to have that new character as well, right in the middle of episode 6 as well.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I made my notes before I watched the finale. And I actually did say it feels like this connects to a later episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was almost serving the plot a little bit in some ways.
Yeah.
Particularly when Strange pops up at the end.
Yeah. Definitely. As I said, there's some great visuals. It's even Avatar-like.
Yeah.
In spots.
And there's some really good little character moments. I love the bit at the end, which is just before Strange appears, where they all come through the portal in Spain, in the Queen's Palace. And I thought that was a really nice little moment. And she takes the higher ground and she offers her peace, even though the Spaniards should have been total dicks.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah, very much so. And I love how it's kind of the Civil War's egged on by the Tesseract. I thought that was brilliant that they used that kind of in a completely different way to what we'd seen before. It was off-world versus our world, whereas this was between two warring factions on Earth that were using it.
Another little thing is like the fact the Tesseract is effectively like the Fountain of Youth. I thought that was a nice little touch.
Yeah.
That's what they thought it was. And seeing the conquistadors, that was a nice little touch as well. Because they were, of course, speaking in Spanish as well. So then you had a couple of crossover scenes where the Spanish were speaking in the native American. Yeah. And I thought it was, the work in it was fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Overall, it added nothing to the story at that point, even though I said it kind of felt like it.
Yeah.
It did belong to another episode. It didn't really move the story anywhere.
Yes, and no, isn't it? Because we find out later on, of course, in the finale.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a minute, in the next episode. But, yeah, so it was, it did feel like that they created her, the Native American stuff is a brilliant way to bring it in and do it. But it also felt like she was introduced just to service the plot a little bit, which I think does everybody a disservice.
Yeah, very much so. Did you have anything else to add before we wrap up?
No, I think narratively it was a strong episode. I say there's some really nice action sequences again. The bit where they take on the boats at the end, I thought it was fantastic when they all come back with the powers. And yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was all right.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have to say, I do wonder whether it is going to tie to Echo at some point, that we find out that she's playing a relation in Echo or something like that. But at the moment, it just seemed a little bit random. Mm. So that wraps up our thoughts on episodes 4 to 6. Thank you, Tony, as always. We will be back on the next episode to talk the final 3 episodes of What If Season 2. Obviously the next 2 and the finale. But thank you for listening, and we will see you on the next one.